But let's remind ourselves very quickly where we were. We had a problem with the Rambam. The Rambam had a contradictory psak. The Rambam said that by Bikur, Yavish Hamayan O, Nixat Sa'ilan, maybe Veino Kole. And with respect to Brachos, the Rambam said that Beirach Alpera Sa'ilan Bore Priyadama is Yatsa. We know there's another Nusach, we know that Nusach is wrong. Okay, well, it's not what the Rambam said. That's the bottom line. So the question is, how does the Rambam paskin what seems to be, as to use the Tzach's expression, it's not his expression, it's Baruch and the Gemara, Mizake Shtar Lebetre. And you want to be Mizake Shtar to two different people. Now, obviously, you can be Mizake half of a debt to one, or half of a thing to another. But this is an indivisible principle. How do you paskin? You paskin that Ara is, what's the expression? I can't keep it straight. The Ikar Ilan Ara. Mm-hmm. Do you pass in that way or do you not pass in that way? So that was the question. So yesterday we explored a more approach of Mechkar, which might be shot here in terms of the Rambam's approach to passing, like Shakla Vataya, or not passing like Shakla Vataya, in favor of simple readings of Mishnayos, Brises, Memors, the way the Magen Mishnah formulates it in the context of Tamun in his Kh. But there are several other approaches that were proposed by the Achronim. So I didn't ask you to look at the Shagas Ayin, and I mentioned it. I do want to mention, again, this is an approach, this is probably not an approach that you're used to, because it's not an approach I like. But the Shagas Ayin starts with a question. And I'm not sure when he gets to the answer. He said, would it be right to be choshesh for the Shita of the Rambam, that if you make a bori pri hadama out of fruits of the tree, you're not yotze? And he initially starts out talking about the girsa. We know this is not the girsa, but the Rashba says this is the correct girsa. It only makes sense this way. And he says, yeah, it's right to be choshesh. But he starts to move away from that and then try to explain why the Rambam paskins the way he does. Now, some of this material overlaps with the Tlach. But the first place that he starts out with the possibility, and I think this is, and the Tlach rejects this, is that the Rambam was paskining misafim. That in when it comes to he made a bracha a bari pri adama on a fruit, safek is safek brachos lahakel. So maybe we paskin like Rabbi Huda, and you don't have to make another bracha. Maybe we paskin like the chacham, and you do have to make another bracha bari praise. And the maskana is safek brachos lahakel. Don't make another bracha. And when it came to be kor, misafek whether or not you are should be koreis. So better shevi atase. You should be maybe the Eino Kore. Now, there is a problem, there is an outgrowth, a fascinating outgrowth of the first one, and then a problem with the second one. Yonatan?
Yeah, for the second one, why is it better to be Sheva Al-Kasa?
So there are two reasons that the Rishalmi offers. I think this is not in the Tzachs, it's in the Shalmi Sarya. In a previous part of that Mishnah, when it's a suffix about why would be the Chachamim, I think it's by Kona Shvei Ilanos, the Chachamim of the Supak, whether you're Kona Karka and whether you can read the Parsha. So they say not to when it's a suffix. Why the two concerns? Either we're afraid that if you read the Parsha Bikurim, then for sure you won't separate Trumas and Mises from it. And normally, if it's Bikurim, there's no Chiv, Trumas and Mises. Bikurim comes off the top. But if these parents are really not Bikurim, then ultimately they become Tevel, and when the Kohanim eat it before they eat it, they should separate Trumas and Maaser. So if you read the Parsha Mikra Bikurim, the Kohanim are going to assume this is Vada Bikurim, and they're not going to be Choshish to be Machmir both ways. So that's why you have to do it. The other possibility, now that's by an Elon, where that's by a case where the Safek is Eino Maybe or Maybe Bikurim, meaning you either bring and you read the Parsha or you don't bring at all. Yeah. The second reason the Yushalmi offers is Mechsei Kishikra. Because maybe it's not true. Maybe these aren't Bikurim. Maybe, right. So what the Shagas Ari says is that in our case, where for sure you bring Bikurim, the suffix is whether you're Kovei or not. So here, if it's a concern of Trumas and Isos, that's not a concern. Why? Because if it's Vada Bikurim, but there's a technical reason why you don't do the Mikra Bikurim, it's halted from Trumas Abaisa, so that's not a Chashash. But the problem with Mechsei Kishikra, it might still be a problem. So there's still potentially an issue there. Now, there's a much bigger problem, however, with that. And this is something that the Tzach points out in passing. We'll read it. But what's the big problem if you think that the Rambam only passes in that way Misafek? Shemi?
Then are we paskins in the case of Safek Bikurim?
What type of Safek Bikurim?
If you have Safek Mikra.
Okay, why?
He says you should send the Vishal, yeah.
Why?
Not sure.
Jake?
If it's
Mechuyev in Kriya, so the Kriya might be Mount Kevis in this case. If it was nearer the Kriya, and then if it's high in Kriya and you don't do it, so it might be Ma'akiv. So the solution is to make sure that it's not high in Kriya. And one of the ways you do that is when you pick the Bikurim with the intent of bringing it yourself, and then you turn it and hand it over. Well, I mean, that may not work. You have to pick it up and give it intent. You hand it over to a Shaliyah. And if you're handing it over to a Shaliyah, then it's never Chazi the Kriya in the first place. And therefore, you could just bring it and maybe Ve'ino Kore. But the Rambam doesn't say you do it that way. The Rambam says maybe Ve'ino Kore, which sounds like Me'ikara, then you may be, and Me'ikara, then you're Ve'ino Kore. So it doesn't sound like the Rambam is passing that way to something. The Totsa'a from the other piece, which is what would it be if the Rambam were only passing it, what would follow from that? What would the din be according to that if I had a fruit sitting on the table that we're not sure what the bracha is? We're not sure whether it's a strawberry, for example. It's being Allah lamaisa. What would the din be, Shimi?
According to this, you'd have to say shahakal.
Correct, you have to say shahakal. Because it's a suffix, whether you yotze with the bracha of our priya adama. And normally we say, take a strawberry. Now, why is a strawberry a suffix? We're going to do this, it's part of the sugya, but at the end, in Tosis, why is a strawberry a suffix? A blueberry is not a suffix. Any of you ever pick blueberries? Wild or domesticated? Yes. So, you know, if we ever have a sheer hike this semester, but it'd have to be actually probably in July, I think, take you to Harriman State Park, and we could pick wild blueberries that are growing all over the place. So you'll see what wild blueberry. I can, if we go on a hike even now, I can show you the blueberry bushes. The dead blueberry bushes. I mean, they're not dead, just the foliage is dead. So you take a blueberry bush, it's basically a woody plant that grows in the ground. The woody plant stays there all through the winter, unless hikers like me have lost the trail and trample through it, in which case we might trample on the blueberry bushes. Just a piece of good advice if you're hiking and needing to do a bushwhack because you're doing a bushwhack because you got lost and you have to do a bushwhack, which is much better to fight with blueberry bushes than mountain laurel. Mountain laurel is nasty. Blueberry bushes, you could win. Mountain laurel, you're going to lose. Trust me, I speak from personal experience.
That's what either of us look like.
Okay, well, next time we go on a hike, I'll have to show you what's mountain laurel and what are blueberry bushes. So anyway, but what about strawberries? Why are strawberries a suffix? Have anybody ever seen wild strawberries or domesticated strawberries? You know what
I'm saying? My understanding is that the only part which stays year to year is underneath the ground.
Effectively. It's certainly not very much above the ground at all. It's the runners that stay there, and then they send up new shoots every year. Now, mitzad that, one is tempted to say that a strawberry, but the actual plants on which the strawberries grow, those die back. A blueberry bush, the woody bush, doesn't die back. It loses its leaves during the winter, but it's there. Now, why would you think that a strawberry is a fruit that you should make a bore pri ha'etzan? Shemin?
Because part of it lasts from year to year.
You don't replant it from year to year. Typically speaking, peiros ha'adama, generally speaking, we replant each year. But strawberries, you don't have to replant each year. They will continue to grow from year to year because there was a part that there, but it's under the ground. So, what bracha do you make on strawberries? Well, that kind of depends. You see, if you assume, so let's say you're the suffix about strawberries, you don't know what to do. Do you make ha'etz? Do you make ha'adama? So, if the shagasari is correct, that it really is a suffix, the suffix that we say suffix brachas lahakel, that's certainly where the Rama paskins. Then the answer is the bracha you make on strawberries is a shahak.
Wait, why?
Well, because it's a suffix whether you yotze with ha'adama. After you make ha'adama already on a pri ha'etz, so you might have been yotze, so suffix brachas lahaka. Before you make the bracha, whether you have a suffix, you take the most specific bracha that definitely is motzi you on the food. So if you assume that your yotze, which is the way we do assume, by the way, Jim. If we assume that you make a borei, that if you make a borei pri adama on a fruit you yotze, that's what you would do on the struggle. But if you assume that you might not be yotze till when suffix, so if you did it already, suffix brachas lachi, you don't make another bracha. If you didn't do it, you make a shahata. So Shimi will make a shahata on the strawberries. Yes, if I.
You say, you say this halacha in other contexts, to take in Matthew saying that, relying on a certain suffix brachas.
Yeah,
that's happening. You specifically got the realia, and you specifically got the halacha.
Okay, so
this is
the
topic
we're following the Rama.
I was going to
ask about that.
Well, the Rama is a suffix, and within the Rama, you have a suffix also about the status of the things. You can say tzedekah without making bracha.
As a methodological point, do we generally make distinctions?
That doesn't make sense. So, firstly, that's so chacham of Adelaide. He loves
straight
tzedekah.
Exactly,
he loves straight tzedekah. But I don't think that straight tzedekah makes sense, at least at first glance. Because the question is not whether, in other words, you have a choice between a bracha that's vabe good, but less specific, and a bracha that's only a suffix whether it's good. I grant you to straight tzedekah whether it's good, even though it's more specific. Why would you opt when you have a vabe choice? Okay, so it's not quite, why would you opt for that? Nobody would, right, why would you opt for, for choosing to rely upon space sake when you have a valid choice? What, because the hiddur is specificity? Again, the bidi yeved, you don't say anyway, but why the chatzila would you opt to rely, again, in this particular case anyway, I don't think it's an issue, because the Rambam doesn't pass that way himself, and that's how the Rambam Shachar passes. Does he actually say this, by, in this case?
I don't know the details. This
case, but there's another context. So then you may be comparing. I'm sorry for doing this to you. You may be comparing apples and bananas here. Okay? And as he might not say, but he would just say, make a shuffle in this case. And that's the tendency of posting anyway, which drives me crazy. We just go, just make a shuffle.
In general, just a methodological question. In general, there's basically, like a firm said, there's two kinds of suffix, right? There's, you have, like, I don't know whether or not I said a bracha, so that's a suffix about whether or not I need to say bracha. Mm-hmm. And you have two positions, and both of these positions are certain about what the halacha is, but we're just not sure which one.
Are you asking me whether, methodologically, whether sfeika d'dina should be treated as a suffix?
Yeah.
The answer to that question, I think there might be some discussion, but to me, it's such a dumb question. Of course, sfeika d'dina is treated as a suffix. You know how I know? What's the makor for sfeika d'raisa l'chomer and sfeika d'rabbana l'kula? Anybody know? What's that?
Machlokas. Ironic.
What do you mean? It's a machlokas?
Why? Where it comes from?
No, I've never seen it discussed. No. Whether sveika d'oraisa l'chumra is d'oraisa d'rabbanan, that's a famous machlokas. But where? But that sveika d'oraisa is l'chumra. Whether it's d'oraisa d'rabbanan is irrelevant. That sveika d'oraisa is l'chumra and sveika d'rabbanan is kula. What's the earliest source for that? Anybody know? If I am. No. That's the Rambam famous Torah of the Sheb Shmaitz at the beginning. About if the Shveitzah the Raisa, look, there's a pasuk that tells you that Safik Mamzeres Mutter, you can marry into the Kahal. You can also marry Mamzeres. So the question I'll ask is, according to the Rambam, that Shveitzah the Raisa, Menat Torah Shekula, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that Safik Mamzeres Mutter? And I'm not going to give you the whole link now, because it's really off topic, but I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is given by the Rambam himself in a Tshuva, which I think that we do not have that tshuva, but the tshuva is quoted by the Rashbach in the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin. The Rambam says that is the source, that sefer d'oraisa is makula.
How about that?
Okay. You don't know how much ink was spilled over this in the Sheb Shmaitza. All these brilliant suggestions, really fun suggestions, which are all wrong. I mean, they all might be true, but not for the Rambam, that's for sure. Because we know what the Rambam, but they didn't have that, so that's the hilarious part. I'm such a killjoy, I know. So anyway, what's the marker? The answer is it's a Tosef in Ha'idios, which is quoted in the Gemara of Odezara Daf Zayin, and one other place in Shas, which is that whenever you find, two Chachamim, one is Matir, one is Oser, one is Metame, one is Metahir. So you follow the Gadol Shavahem, you follow the one who's greater. But if you don't know, or if they're equal, so then you go l'chumrah, and then Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, "Bishal Torah halach achar machmir, bishal sofrim halach achar hamikil." And we pass like Rabbi Yosef says, we pass like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. So that, to me, I believe, is the earliest source. It's Sefer Daraisa Lacham and Sefer Daraisa Lakula. It's precisely by Safek and Halacha, Safek and Din. So I know that this issue is discussed. The only question you could ask is, can you be Mitzara to Sefer Dina and Sefer Mitzias? But the idea that a Sefer Dina shouldn't be considered Safek is also wrong, I think, from the whole Din of Kimli. You know what the Din of Kimli is? Kimli is a principle that should be written, done away with. Dayanim hate Kimli. Kimli is when you have a machlokas in Dina Mamaros with the two shitas, and you're the muchzak, and the majority opinion follows the other side, but you can say, I hold like the minority, because in Hachem the Mamar Acharo. You can imagine, Kimli is not a popular idea with Dayanim. It's like, nice psak, but I want to hold like the minority opinion. But anyway, Kimli also is based upon the fact that that you don't follow a rove, and that effectively is the same thing. There's always this rove, safek, and miut. Those are three things. So if for Kimli to work, it means that a safek of the dina is a safek. Follow, and you can apply rove, and you can apply miut, etc. Okay. Fine. So, Lewis.
Hypothesis
with the reading of Rambam, aside from
the
halakha by the Torah, could it have
been ruled out just by saying yatsa,
as opposed to all yatsa or
something?
No, because yatsa is kosher. Oh, you mean to say that it says einam avarich? I don't know. You'd have to scour the entire Rambam to see, you know, find cases you classify that he says yotze misafek and see whether he says yatsa or whether he's... I hear what you're saying. You're saying, that's not a bad ha'ara. You're actually saying that the word yatsa, it's not that you don't make another bracha misafek, it's that you're yotze. So, it'd be interesting to survey the Rambam. Again, you're right, Lewis, because the Rambam doesn't hold the misafek. You're right. The question is, would he have said, enoch hosem avayach? It makes a lot of sense what you're saying. I just don't get there because I... don't feel I need to get there. But yes, you're right. It's a good, very good hour. Okay. So let's take a look at the tzlach. Would somebody, I'm happy to read, but if someone else would like to read, I'd be very happy for them to do so. Yonatan?
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay.
One second. Before you start, should we read on the Gemara first? Or should we leave that as the cherry on the icing at the end of, on the cake? I think that's the icing on the cake. Okay. Fine. But don't let me forget. It might not be today. It might be tomorrow. We have a mahalach, by the way. But it's true that you need to see the plot first anyway. Some of these approaches.
You
set the table for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Ma'antana, the Iker Ilan Arafah. Haralgam pechet mi bracha halachim. Imper gal mi bikurim halachim in that. Ziva shtari...
Lebetre? He was mezakeh at the same shtar to different people.
You can't
do that. If you give the shtar to one person, you then can't give it to the second. So you either paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or you don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda.
Because Rachel pasad commission of Kimono, Rabbi Kurin pasad kitanakama to Rabbi Yehuda, the main he gave the court.
All right, so that's the problem. If the problem, we all know the problem. Continue.
Vapnei Yoshua katav, the Rambam, spuke misfaka lay.
Okay, so the Rambam, how do you pass him on this issue? The Rambam was mesupak because you don't know whether this is stam b'achar machlokas or machlokas b'achar stam, because it's in two separate mesechta. So which did Rebbe teach first, bikurim then brachos, or brachos then bikurim? You don't know. So that's why the Rambam was mesupak and had a pass him, and that's why. So that's why he paskin the way he did in brachos. It's a safek, so don't make another bracha.
The
bikurin. Okay, so by bikurin, since the kriya is not makedas, so the Rambam said, don't read. Okay, so the Rambam there employs the principle son, which is kalaroi lekriya a kriya matkevis. So if I have bikur that I'm able to read, then even though I'm chayiv to read, it's not matkevis. But if I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to read, so then it's not roi lekriya. But if I'm chayiv in it, then kriyas matkaris. This is a general principle. It's I think it's Rosheshis' principle. It starts up with, any member of the original, Kolaroi, Labila, Ein Bila Matkaris Balud. The Mishnah says in Menachos that if you volunteer to bring a mincha, a regular mincha, you bring one Yisaron with one load of Shemen. And if you volunteer to bring a mincha of two Esaron, you bring two Esaron and one load of Shemen. If you volunteer to bring a mincha of 30 Esaron, you bring 30 Esaron and one load of Shemen. They're mixed together. Finally, up to 60. 61, you have to bring the mincha in two separate kelim, and each kli gets its own load of shemen. So you have to bring twice the amount of oil, and whatever amount of flour you volunteer. So the question is, why is it that shishim is okay in one kli, whereas shishim la'achas is not okay? There are two reasons, but the one that's pertinent here is that shishim are nivlalim yafa, but shishim la'achas are not nivlalim yafa. If you want to blend the stuff together, 60 esronim and one load of shemen blends well. 61 already is too much to blend. There's just not enough liquid there. So the Gemara asks the question, but we know that the din of Belila is not Makeves. If you have oil and flour together in Mincha, all you have to do B'dieved. What we good is if you mix up enough of the Mincha to take the Kmitza out, even though you mix the whole thing, it's not Makeves. So the Gemara asks, if Belila is not Makeves, so why can't you bring more than 60? So the Gemara's answer is, I thought it was Zera maybe? I can't remember who it's a thing. Who says it? That kolaroi lebila ain bila makeres bone. It's not roi lebila there's makeres bone. As long as you potentially could have done bila mincha, this is a kasha mincha. But once you can't do bila, so then the bila is makeres. This whole setup is not roi to be good for the parva. This principle is extended in many different places in Shas. Just one other example. Supposing there are three parts to the chalitza ceremony. What are the three parts? Chalitza, kriya, and rakika. The woman undoing the man's shoe, they're reading the parsha back and forth in Lashon HaKodesh. She says this, she says that. It's like a little play they're putting on. And then finally, a rakika, spitting. Supposing you have a man or a woman who are mute. They're not deaf. They're very intelligent. They know exactly what they're doing. They learned all the shas, but they can't talk. They can't get zanah. So what's the din? So ordinarily, when you have an able-bodied man and woman and they do chalitza, chalitza is the only thing we pass in that's makeves. The kriya sapsukim is not makeves, and even the rakika, the spitting, is not makeves. But what if you have one of the parties is not capable of doing kriya? Then the Gemara says kriya makeves. Okay, so that's the same principle that isn't being invoked here. If it's not roi the kriya, then the kriya is makeves. So the Rambam's solution to that is probably from the Gemara, is that you send it ayyidei shaliach. You send it ayyidei shaliach, and once you send ayyidei shaliach, for short, you can't do kriya, so there's no suffering. Okay. So, that's what he does. How can you say the Rambam held up when he stopped me? In Cain,
the Rambam, the farish, the halacha is that, the yavish amayan, the nictis ilan,
the condition, the stipulation he had, al chadala should apply here. One says an alternative explanation that's available. I don't know if you remember, we read the Kesef Mishnah. Did we read the Kesef Mishnah? Okay, but he quotes the Kesef Mishnah accurately. The Kesef Mishnah says that once there's another alternative available, the Yishalmi, the rabbi read the Mishnah that way. And therefore, you can pass like Stamish, and you can pass like the Hanakama in Jikurim, so, and there's no contradiction between the two. So, however, the problem with Pnei Yeshua.
Pnei Yeshua has said that the Kevin Talmuda Lidan Amar, Machinik and Rabbi Udahi, Loshav Kinan Talmuda Lidan, Mitnesha
Machlokas Shabi Yushalmi. In other words, the Pnei Yeshua says, we don't pass the like the Yushalmi, so why would the Rambam do that? Shimi, take over, please.
Okay,
so we have a brisa that the Gemara seems to think is in accordance with the opinion of the Tanakhama, with the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda have a machlokus in that Mishnah the way it's usually understood, pretty much explicit almost. Rabbi Yehuda says that we have two things. You give preference in terms of the bracha to the Shiva Saminim. And the Chachamim say you give preference to that which is what you prefer. Now, the Gemara has a discussion. Is this talking about when you have two separate brachos, two separate foods that you're making a bracha, a different bracha on? Meaning you have an apple and you love apples and you have a grape, but you don't love grapes so much. Oh, no, sorry. That was bad. Try again. You have a carrot and you have a grape and you love carrots. You're a rabbit. So you love carrots and you would much prefer to make the bracha on the carrot, not on the grape. So, is that what the machlokas is about? Where you're going to make both brachos, but the question is, maybe which one comes first? Or is it a case where you're only going to make one bracha? It's an apple and a grape. And you love apples much more than grapes. But if you make the bracha bar praise of the apple, you can't make the bar praise on the grape. So the Gemara has that discussion. So in the course of that discussion, they quote a brisa that says that when you have a stone, which is a radish, and you have a zayis, which is an olive, that you're mevarech al hatznon, and you are poter es hazayis, which would seem to be odd or not odd. Is a bari pri adam a pater a bari pri eitz?
Depends who you hold that. No, that's not bracha.
Well, but you've got to make a bracha on its own, and if you make eitz on its own, it doesn't even work with the other. So that's a point that Rashi makes in this context, which is that the idea that you're mevarich borei pri hadama on a fruit of a tree, that you're yotzei, it's when you made a borei pri hadama on the fruit of the tree. Not when you made a borei pri hadama on other stuff, and you don't have intent to pat to the fruit of the tree, which you shouldn't, because you should make a borei pri on the fruit of the tree. You should make two brachas. So the Gemara in this context, says you mevarich hatzinu poter es hazayis. Now the Gemara's maskana is going to be, by the way, why you poter es hazayis? How is the radish poter es hazayis? Jimmy,
ikar
v'tochel. I frankly wish to express my reservations about the idea of having radishes and olives together. To me, I believe that is a very weird taste.
Ishtana
v'tochel, yes. Are their radishes were much holier than ours, and they gravitated to the Shiva Saminim, and they went together with them wonderfully. Thank you. Go ahead. So, but the Havamina of the Gemara wasn't that it was Ikar V'Tochel, that's Maskana. The Havamina of the Gemara is that it would have pottered on the basis of Ha'adama and Ha'eitz. Continue. So Rabbi Yehuda says you make the bracha on the Zayas Shetzbim in Shiva. So it's the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda, which the Tzlach assumes, of course, is the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda Bikur, which, of course, is a highly questionable assumption. How do you know that both Tanakhamas are the same? But that's what he assumes. Okay. Hine. Right. The Tartzan in the sugya is the one who came up with the idea of Tzinor Ikar. The Gemara's Havamina was not that it's Ikar V'Tochel, it's that the bracha on the radish is pottering the zayis. So he said, continues, In Cain,
Shematchilo haya tzovar shatznun poter mishon abari pri adama, poter pri eitz,
Yeah, how can the Gemara have to get we're going to reach the conclusion that that's two separate foods and that if you make Ha'adama on this, it's not going to pass with that. Before we get there, what was the Gemara's Hava? I mean, anyway, that the stone would be pottering a radish. Is it that Bori Pri Ha'adama pottering the fruit of a tree? And that only works according to Rabbi Yehuda, but this is the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda. That's his question. That, how could you say that? Right, he holds, at least to what we assume until now, you're not yotzei with the bari pri adama on the fruit of a tree. So, go ahead. Yeah, according to the time to come, according to the way the Gemara presented it, that our Mishnah, Berach HaPeres HaIlam Bari Pri Adama is Yatsa, that is Rabbi Yehuda Bikur. The Chachamim disagree. They say about Yotze. So what should the Gemara have? I mean, in a Be'er Chalat Shlom, Poter says Ayis. Of course, you're not Poter says Ayis. Because
of this. Chavachomer mean she ain't mean Achash who Borsh Adamav Poter Priya Hay.
Okay, Filchat to say that the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yehuda and Bikurim is different than the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yehuda and the Brisa of Stone and Zayas. Why? No idea. Okay.
Hello, Vada. How so get Ajak and Hach?
The Hachman da Amar Biyushalmi. Oh, so what is the Tzlach suggesting here? That this sugya is assuming, like the second opinion of Yerushalmi, and therefore the Lachain.
Oh,
sorry.
The
Gam Tanah.
The Rabbi Yehuda Yata.
So what is the methodological approach in the first teres in the Tzlach? Of the approaches we outlined yesterday, what is the approach, Jesh? Yeah, you have different sugyas, so now focus on sugyas. The sugya on that mem amid aleph assumed that this mishnah was daf Rabbi Yehuda. The sugya on that mem aleph amid beis assumes that this price, that this mishnah fact is even the sheet of the Chacham. How could they assume for the Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda that Berach Latzon put their Esazayis, how could they even be a Havamina? The answer is because the assumption is that the Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda believes that Peros Ha'ilad are Bechlal Peros Arts and therefore Yotze. Which means that Sugya is working with the second Deya in the Yushalmi. Our Sugya is working with the first Deya in the Yushalmi. Which still begs the question, why? Why would our Sugya after that? But more on that when we get to the end of the Sugya. Next, Ephraim, please take over. Thank you, Shuri. Alright, well, so he's got a lot on his plate here. He wants to explain a different approach to the Rambam, which also explains another problem. Right? That's the fun thing in Lundus, when you can have one key that opens many doors. In this case, one solution that solves many problems. So what is the other problem? The problem is that the Gemara at the end, let's take a little detail here quickly. Let's just read the rest of this Gemara. What tree is the Eitz HaDaas?
In apple, have you not seen the painting?
Yes. So why is it an apple in the painting?
That was a common food at
the place
at the time?
There's a Hesper, actually. It has to do with the Latin, where I think like the generic word for fruit is the same word for apple or something like that. There's something like that. There's a linguistic reason. But suffice it to say that we have a Feirish Malkeh, and we have three possibilities, and apple is not one of them. Okay. So, anyway, let's read the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, we read the opening part, and now the Mishnah says, So the Gemara asks, okay, so that second opinion is also connected to a medrash. Now, when Adam and Chava were looking for something to cover themselves with, none of the trees would allow them to take of their stuff because they regarded them as sinners. But the fig tree allowed them to take the Alei Seina, hence the term. What's an Alei Seina? Fig leaf. That's where it comes from. Where do you think the fig leaf comes from? When we use an expression for, if you want to cover something, you know, and it's an insufficient cover, you call it like it's a fig leaf for him.
Really?
Yes, because
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Did any of you besides Jake read?
I read plenty.
I don't mean computer code.
No,
no. Okay. I'm kidding. But yes, a fig leaf is like is a pretend covering. It's like what we say. So that's probably what they use, like in all those statues. In the Greek statues, where they do put something, or somebody puts something, probably use a fig leaf. So anyway, only the fig tree would allow them to take the leaves because it was, in effect, part of the sin. So that's the second opinion. The third opinion, you know that? Okay, it's only when the child has gotten old enough that they've eaten already, that fish are eating wheat, that they're able to likros abba be'ima. It means that they have das, and hence they ate from the eighth hadas. What's the tree that gives a person the beginning of their intellectual development? It is the wheat. Okay. I don't know what it means. Likros abba be'ima. What does that mean exactly? A call and names, I suspect,
to
repeat. So I'm not sure if that's what it means. The alternative is, what is the speaking of Abba Be'ima indicate? Thank you. Differentiation. That's what knowledge is. Where do we put Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos? In the Bracha Das. That's why. Because intellect, true intellect, knowledge, gives one the sophistication to make distinctions. People who are less intelligent tend not to have nuance. People who are more intelligent, unless they're making a lot of money off not having nuance, tend to have more nuance. My friend likes to quote, I forget who the social critic said, is making somebody understand something is very difficult when they're earning a lot of money is dependent upon their not understanding. But generally speaking, intelligent people, the mark of intelligence is the ability to make distinctions. So that is das. So I think that's what it means. Nikos abba ve'ima. I think a child knows the difference probably between mother and father, but they can't articulate it until they can say abba ve'ima, and that comes along with eating.
It feels more like correlation and causation, but okay.
What?
Because it feels more like correlation and causation.
I understand that. I understand that. Don't ask Tasha's on an Agada.
What do you mean? Essentially, it could just be that it refers to it as an Agada, and it's called that because it's the marker for.
Okay, that's very clever. Very, very clever. Ronnie?
Wouldn't you have expected in Hebrew to have the word ben or something of the sort? Like, you call it ben Abba or ben Ina if you wanted it to be passage. It just means to call mommy and dad.
Maybe. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara says the following: South of Beit Hanina. So the Havamina was that since the Chita is a kind of tree. How do you know it's a kind of tree? Because it's called when it eats hadas tohara. Okay.
How does it doesn't work because the Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't call it tirat hadama. He would call it tirat ha'es. We call in the Mishnah.
No. He's calling. You might have thought that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since the identification of the eights. By the way, it's also the terminology. It's just the wrong terminology, and that's what makes it wrong. It's not the eight hadas. It's cutting up a phrase. It's an eight hadas tovara. If you look at the trapeze, right, you will see that it's an eight hadas tovara. There's no eight hadas. Which, by the way, once again reinforces the point running to that distinction. In fact, the targum is ume ilana. I think it's something la'afra shaveng pavladish. They add that in. It's like the ochlim mina yodim lemefra shaveng pavladish. So it's about Havdalah. So if Rabbi Yehuda, since it's called a tree in the context of the story of the thing, you might have thought to make a bar treat some of Yosef. So Kamash Valon, That, no, what's the kanash kolam? When do we make a bar praise? Go ahead.
So not kanash kolam, but a bar praise. Each day, we can calculate the pay rate. He's the wazza, the other mafik. About hecha, the chief, shall calculate the pay rate. Basically, the wazza, the other mafik. Lomar rakim, alay, barbina, eight, alay, barbina.
Okay, so this sounds like, this, and I think this is the way that Slav is reading it, this sounds like the, if you take the fruit away, the fruit of the wheat is the kernels, right, the seeds, if you take it away and the devaza is still there, which means it's, there's some type of a runner, and that's the question, what does gevaza mean? Does it mean a woody part? Or let's assume for the moment it means a woody, it means it's something above the ground. Is that when you take the fruit and the gevaza is still there and that gevaza produces fruit again, so then you make a bar praise. But by wheat, when the wheat grows again, as you have to plant the seed, it's a different stalk that produces it. There's nothing, the stalk doesn't remain, and therefore, you make a very free ha'adama on it. That's what the Gemara says. You know what
I'm saying? If Rabbi Yehuda held that Chita was a type of itz, wouldn't he just hold that the Hafiyah should be saying ha'aitz on it? Or very free itz?
Well, no, the point is you would have thought that because the Pasuk calls it an itz. Kamash v'lam, that the criteria with respect to brachos is different.
Right, no, but it seems like it's saying that the hava mina, that if you said ha'itz on it, then it would have been yosei.
You would have thought that because an ilan is, because a chita is called an eitz,
but
in the context of the story, the tadas
over. Is it pera ha'aretz, or like why are we assuming that Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't even hold that it's pera ha'aretz? If he thinks that it's an eitz, then it would be pera ha'ilan, no?
Right.
If you now agree to the Kilau Mishnah, because wheat is not Perot Ha'aretz.
No, no. So the assumption I think is that Rabbi Yehuda would take this as a general rule. And if you have things that fit normally the botanic definition of Pri Ha'adama, and yet, I don't know if this is limited to Chita. There are two ways, I guess, of reading this. So you, one way of saying it simply is that you would have thought, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have said the Mishnah, let's just say this, you see this, right? You would have, when the Mishnah says, Berech HaPeros HaAretz, Borei Priya Eitz, and that Yatza is talking about a case of Chitim according to Rabbi Yehuda, specifically. And you would have thought that your Yotze, in this case, because wheat is a tree, Kamash Balan, that wheat is not a tree. That even if wheat is called a tree, with respect to the story of the Eitz Hadas, it's not called a tree in the context of brachos. That's also specifically wheat. You're right. It would be limited to that. The havamina was that on wheat, bori praise would be yotzei. In most cases, it's obvious. Of course, if you make a bori praise on legumes, you're not yotzei because it's not a praise. But you would have thought, hita, you're yotzei, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Kamash Malik, Rabbi Yehuda would say that no. That when the stalk doesn't remain above the ground, when the feet out of which the fruits grow isn't there the next time around, then it is not treated as an eitz for brachas purposes. Story time, great, you could call the chita a tree. Not story time, halachi time, chita is not a tree. Yes, Rabbi.
Was Rabbi Yehuda call it a tree even in not story time, or is he only talking about story time?
The whole point of Havamin is he would treat it for brachos as a tree as well. The maskana is it's only story time. Very important story, but it's story. Yes, I'm right.
It's also kind of like another way of
backing
really to treat the tree vis-a-vis the fruit is not a function of its treeness.
Okay. I like that formulation. Okay. So, this teretz is by far the most hardest teretz to understand the thought. This one is one, you know, you have to, like the expression, you have to halpin cup. Okay, you heard that expression?
I was looking for a halpin cup, but also I've been trying to think it in my life.
I don't know, I'm not sure, but it means you have to be holding your head. I mean, you got to keep your head in it. Okay, I'm not sure the exact, but that's the halpin cup. Fine. So you got to keep your head really in it for these three paragraphs, because there are twists and turns. So he's got two problems. Why does the Rambam seemingly paskin against what he wrote by Bikurim? And secondly, why does the Rambam never mention this definition of trinus for brachas purposes? Continue.
The
J.U. and Lotus said this yesterday, right? Right, so this is correct. So he says the following. Even if the Rabbanon say that the Ara, that the Iker of the Ilan is not the Ara, by the way, if you say Rabbi Yehuda says Iker Ilan Arahu, according to the Chachamim, if they reject that, what do they hold? What's the opposite of Iker Ilan Arahu? Shimi?
Iker Ilan La Arahu?
That's one possibility. What's the other possibility? They're both true, but
Iker Ara Ilan?
No.
Ikar
Elon of Yerhu,
that it would be the
air,
or is that?
No. Right?
Ikar Elon,
you know. Yes. Yes, the Ikar of the Elon is not the Ara, it's the Elon. What? Well, whatever the woody part is, the Ikar Elon is the Elon, not the Ara. The word, when you say Ikar Elon, Elon who, what Elon means is that which creates the fruit. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the Iker Ilan is really the Arahu. And therefore, we say Borei creates because it's more specific, but really the Iker of the Ilan is the earth, what really produces the fruit. And therefore, you make a Borei creates. And the Chachamim say, no, the Iker of the Ilan is the Ilan, meaning that which produces the fruits is the woody part. And therefore, our assumption until now was, if you made a bracha Borei Kri Adama on the fruits of the Ilan, you're not Yotze, because they're not really produced by the Ara, they're really produced by the Ilan. So when we say Ikar Ilan, in fact, I was bothered by Rashi, but now that's a very strong defense of Rashi. Rashi says Ikar Ilan, the Ikar Kol HaPeiros Hi Aretz HaKol Gadol Himenu. That's how Rashi's reading. That's how Rashi's reading. So, continue. Right. So he says like this. Even if the Rabbanan say that the Iker of the fruit's growth is from the Ilan, Iker Ilan Ilanahu, nonetheless, you can't deny that the fruits of the tree are called Pri Adama, because the Torah calls them Pri Adama. Right? The Torah calls it Pri Adama because it calls and what is in Bikurim? Chita, Sora, Gefen, Seina, Rimon, Zaysen, and Tamar. So it's fruits. Fruits also. So obviously, fruits are called Pri Hadamah. So it's inconceivable, the Rabbanan would say, that to say Borei Pri Hadamah on fruits of the tree that you're not Yotze, because they are Pri Hadamah. Now, if that's true, though, then what question do you have? What is the question that he really has to address before we read further? Jay?
It's a different question.
What?
It's a different question. Okay. It also says that
trees
are
trees. It is eight, but there may be tzvedinim in trees. And you can have a tree in one area in halacha that's different than a tree in another area in halacha.
Yes, but you're going to bind it by
Priyadama,
but you're not going to bind the Torah.
Oh, no. You see, Jake, you're asking an excellent question. Got that smile on his face. So someone, wipe that smile off his face and answer his question. Ephraim.
We're trying to explain our focus by purpose here based on concepts that we're developing that we could. The problem is that for developing those concepts that we could, that to be minimally consistent with the sort of definitions
of the Torah by Bikurim.
So you're saying it's not story time.
I wasn't the question answer I was going to give you. That's a lumpish answer. I have a very simple answer, Jake. What does the word eitz mean? It has two meanings in biblical Hebrew. You like that. You're laughing because you don't want to accept it, but it fits perfectly in the Gemara. What is the meaning of eitz in biblical Hebrew? There are two translations that you will find in Targum Gemulchus. One of them is Ilana, and the other one is Uh-oh. Aleph, Ayin, Aleph. It's really eights. Cognitive eights. Don't ask them. I'll explain now how linguistically one got to, how Ayin Sadi got to Aleph Ayin. But it did. Okay? So, in effect, I didn't think that's the lab, but the Havamina is, well, it's called a tree, but it's not wood. And therefore, you can't say Bori Priya eights in that regard. And the Gemara says, because it has to have the same Gevaza. Okay, but anyway, Jay, putting that aside, what was my question? Is what is the problem? Now that the Rambam says, of course the Rabbanim would say it's called Priya Adama, and of course you yield to the end, now what problem do you have to solve? Right? Why does the Gemara say it's Rabbi Yehuda? Now, Niach, that the Rabbi Yehuda says that Ikar Ilan Arahu, and the Rabbanim say Ikar Ilan Ilanahu, but the Rabbanim agree, so Rabbi Yehuda says that really, the peiros grow from the ground. The Rabbanan say, really, the peiros grow from the tree. But the Torah calls it Priya Adama anyway, so you can make a verb Priya Adama. So why does the Gemara say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda if the Rabbanan agree with the Din? So they get to it for a different reason. Rabbi Yehuda gets to the Din because he says that Ikar Ilana Arahu, and therefore since the fruits really grow fundamentally from the ground, you can say Bar Priya Adama on them. For the Rabbanan, you can say Barak Priyadama because the Torah calls that Priyadama. Who cares whether Ikar Ilan Arahu or Ikar Ilanahu? Why is there even a discussion about it? That's the question that the Tzlach has to answer. By the way, I don't know if I introduced the Tzlach to you. Who wrote the Tzlach? The Noda Yehuda, Yecheskel Landau, probably one of the most important achronim to live after the Shulchan Aruch. His tshuvas are probably, along with the Chasam Sofer, are the most important tshuvas that essentially have been written in the last 500 years. So, I'm sorry if I only for Ashkenazim.
What makes it important?
What makes it important? Because, well, that's correct. In other words, the chidushin that they created, partially because they don't even have features so prominently in the Pesachei Tshuva, and I never been able to find out. There are two layers. The Pesachei Tshuva is a commentary on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, and I believe Choshen Mishpat. I don't remember if it's in Ebenezer or not. It's not in Aruch Chaim. The Pesachei Tshuva, yes. So the Pesachei Tshuva, I believe, was written early 19th century. And it didn't have the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. And then somebody added in brackets, whenever the Chasam Sofer is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, when you do Yerideya or any Nidar Avelus, if you hopefully you're reading the Shulchan Aruch, not the notes. You'll see in brackets, it's always in brackets, the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. I don't know who added them in. But when you open up a Shulchan Aruch and now you want to know, beyond the Sekem the Shulchan Aruch, what important tshuvas were written that relate to these issues, well, guess what? What you're going to see, Noda Yehuda is not the only one, but he's the most prominent one. And then somebody added another layer of the Chasam Sofer. So I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but the fact, though, those are the two most important volumes of tshuvos, certainly for the Ashkenaz, since the publication of the Shulchan Aruch. So anyway, the Tzlach has got to solve the problem of, okay, great, so you've explained the Rambam's Tzach. Why does the Rambam hold that you can that you yotze with the Bari Priya Adama on the fruits of a tree, even though Ikar Ilan Ilanu. So great, so you solve the problem. Now the Gemara makes you solve the Rambam's problem. Now the Gemara makes no sense. So why did the Gemara say our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda if everybody agrees to the Din of the Mishnah? Okay, so I continue.
Okay,
Okay. So probably Yavish actually. See. So he says like this: the Chachamim's position is, even though fruits are called pri ha'adama, the ikar of the ilan, the ikar of the growth of the pears, is from the tree itself, and therefore, when you say pri ha'adama asher nasata li Hashem, if the ikar isn't there anymore, you can't talk about it. So the fruits grow both from the tree and from the ground, and they're called borei pri ha'adama. In fact, he doesn't say this, but in a funny way, why is it that you yotze when you make a bracha on borei pri ha'adama? Well, I guess. Okay, you yotze pri ha'adama, because the Torah calls it pri ha'adama. But the ikar adama, it's almost as if adama means two things in the bracha. One is the ground and one is the tree. Adama is the tree. The ikar, the growth of fruit, the ikar, the adama of the fruits is the ilan. And therefore, you say bar pri adama, it's true. But when the Torah says you're going to come in front of God and say, "Reishis kriho adama asher asata liHashem," the ikar adama, is the tree, and that's not there anymore. The ground is secondary. Yes, Lord.
I was just going back to the idea that ikar adama, it's like the most important part of the land, vis-a-vis, because we're talking about like the flip from ikar.
Yeah.
Now he's the flip of ikar adama.
Is the Elon.
Yeah.
Yes. So he says maybe shis pariha adama, the adama that's referred to, the primary, it's called pariha adama. Right? It's almost as if that the Tzach is saying, Ephraim, that borei pri adama yotze, because adama can mean tree. Why can adama mean tree? Because it comes to be that way because, well, adama is the ground, except that the ground does provide some tree functions for a tree. But the ikar is the eitz. So we'd rather say borei pri, we say borei pri adama. So the ilan is called the adama also. It got that name because the ground contributes some to the fruits. There's the ilan, there's the adama, and sometimes the adama is a fill-in for the ilan. It's a fill-in word. So when the Torah says yinei beisim reishis the real adama you're referring to there is the tree, and the tree doesn't exist anymore. Rabbi Yehuda says the adama you're referring to there is the adama. But either way, you can call the fruit of a tree pri adama. It just needs two different things. For Rabbi Yehuda, when you call the fruit of the tree pri adama, it means the ground. The Chachamim, when you say pri adama, it means the tree. There you go. But so for Mikra Bikurim, the Chachamim said you can't say Mereshis pri adama shasati Hashem because it doesn't exist anymore. Because the tree is Yavei Sha'ilan. Nitsa Sha'ilan. Okay. So the Rabbanon say that, again, frying the head, the Rabbanon Tzabri, read that again. Sha'af Shein Ikar. It's in the middle of a line right after a comma. About eight lines up. So he's saying that the Ilan is called the Adama. Avol. Right? So I think it's pretty clear when you reread it. It's clear saying that there's two Adamas here. There's the Adama of the tree and there's the Adama of the ground. And it's fruits are called pri adama. The reason the tree can be called adama, or pri adama, is because some comes from the ground, but the ikar is the tree. So when the Torah says that in your mikra bikurim, you're supposed to say pri ha adama shasat Hashem, it means the pri of the tree that you gave me, and the tree doesn't exist anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda so there. It's almost like the makro for Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It's a svara with the pasuk. If the Torah calls the fruits of the tree pri adama, how can they call it based upon the tafel? The answer is it's not the tafel. The adama must be the ikar. The impurity. Because even if the ilan is gone, the adama is still there. Because Rabbi Yehuda, the adama that the pasuk refers to, the pri adama, is the pri of the karka. Because the Torah would not label it, would not use a term that would really be connected to the minority of its nourishment, as opposed to the majority. And the Rabban would say, no, it does use the term for the minorities, but it's really talking about, but really, there are two Adamas, and the tree is its second Adama. The Amnam. So now, we still have to answer the question, which we probably won't finish now, but we'll start. What forced the Gemara to say that our Mishnah assumed that Ikar Ilan Ara, the din of Berech HaParas HaAdama, HaParas HaIlan, Bore Pri HaAdama, that you don't say, that makes sense regardless, because fruit tree fruits are, they are Pri HaAdama. So why did the Gemara have to say it was Rabbi Huda? The short version of the very short version of the answer is why?
Because the next part about
the Seifa. Yeah. That's it. The answer is the Seifa. In other words, you're right, the din of the Reish is the Seifa both. That's why the Rambam can pass him like our Mishnah and not Mitame, because Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Huda about the din. They disagree as to why, and when it comes to Bikurim as a machlokas. So the fact that the Rambam passed Berech HaParas HaIlan, Borei Pri HaAdama Zeta, doesn't mean that he's passing like Rabbi Huda, because that stuff is true even according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan agree Paras HaIlan are called Paras HaIlan are called Pri HaAdama, and therefore if you said Borei Pri HaAdama, you are Yotze. Why then, and that's really like the second Paretz in effect in the Yerushalmi, why then does the Gemara here say that the Mishnah has to be like the first Paretz? Now, by the way, here, this does not work in the Yerushalmi at all. Why doesn't it work in the Yerushalmi? Right? What? No. There's a much better reason why it doesn't fit. Maybe the Yerushalmi is thinking this entire thing, the Babli spells out. I would agree with you that Kate Sly might be almost as likely, but it's a reasonable assumption. I would say likely to do the assumption, shouldn't it? Dibri HaKol! Right, Dibri HaKol. Our Mishnah just says, Mantan is Rabbi Yehuda. Right, it doesn't mean, and again, the formulation is, let's see if it works in the Yerushalmi, one second. I don't want to go out on a limb on the first part in Shalom. The Rabbi Yehuda, I assume, is the Shita, is Rabbi Yehuda's. In the Babli, what the Stach is saying is that the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Not because the Shita is only Rabbi Yehuda's, the first line in the Mishnah is everybody. It's the Seifa. It's the Seifa that has to be Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas in the Yushalmi, the second opinion, say, Divrei HaKol, implies that the first thing is only Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Okay. Either way, go ahead. So these two lines help frame but notice this problem, the thought's problem, which is what forced him to say our mission is Rabbi Yehuda, since we just demonstrated the Rabbanan agreement the first half. So why say it's Rabbi Yehuda? Just say it to everybody. Don't say anything. So the answer is, Dira. So it's the Mishnah forced them to, because the Gemara understood that according to our Mishnah, you do not follow Mixas Unika, you follow the primary Unika. Meaning that, so he's going to explain, but the reason why, there's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that if you make a Borei Pri HaAdama on tree fruit, your Yotze is because the equal growth of that fruit is from the ground. According to the Rabbanan, the reason why you make a Borei Pri HaAdama on the tree fruit, that your Yotze is because it's called Pri HaAdama. So how did the Gemara know which was the reason for the Reisha? The answer is because of the Seifa. In a Chadami, if all we had was the Reisha, the Gemara would have said nothing. It could be for Rabbi Huda's reason, it could be that Iko Ilan Aro, and that's why Borei Pri HaAdama is Yotze, or because it's called Pri HaAdama in the Parsha Bikurim. Because of the Seifa was assuming that Ikar Ilan Arahu, and therefore you should read the Reish in that light, and therefore it must be Rabbi Huda's opinion. But the Din, and again, the Din and the Seifa, now here's the tricky part, and maybe we will stop at this. This is the one part you have to catch. This is the subtlety in the Tzlach, which is great. If the Seifa must be assuming Ilan Ikar Arahu, and that's why you're not Yotze. When you say Borei Pri HaEitz on a Pri HaAdama, what would the Rabbanan say? It's a strange question, but you have to make sure. What you don't want happening is based upon saying that the Sefer must be Rabbi Yehuda, therefore Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Reisha, even though the Chachamim could agree. You need to make sure that the Chachamim could agree to the Din and the Sefer as well. If the Chachamim disagreed with the Din and the Sefer, some of that went out to something Rabbi Yehuda said, then you've got a problem again, Yusufin, because the Rambam paskins, like we would expect, that Beirach al Peiras Adam al Borei creates Lo Yatsa. So whatever he's going to say, it has to come out that the Rabbanan agree with the Din of the Sefer as well. But the Sefer must be Rabbi Yehuda, not the Rabbanan. The Reisha could have been either. Only because the Sefer must be Rabbi Yehuda, we say the Reisha is Rabbi Yehuda. That's the part that took me a little while to chat. And I'm not going to say anything more other than to say two things about that. The way he's going to solve that problem is, A, the reason why the Sefer has to be Rabbi Yehuda is because of Pshita, not because of the Din. But they answer the Pshita. And number two, the Rabbanan don't need to hold to the Sefer. Where did the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? About the definition of a tree for the purposes of Borei Pri'et. About the Chishachlas Leperi, Isa Lekvasa, Lesa Lekvasa, whether that matters at all for being a fruit. He doesn't say this, but we'll explore this tomorrow, but I believe that according to the Tanakh, the question of a strawberry should be a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. What's that? You came to that conclusion yourself already? Rabbi Yehuda would say strawberry is adama, and the Rabbanan would say that a strawberry is aitz. Right, so you can test that proposition tomorrow. You have your work cut out for you, Lewis. I see you're keyed in, but wondering where am I going with that? So, Eitan, you've got a solid problem tomorrow. All right.
Thank you.